Father in heaven, we thank you for your word to us. Thank you that you're a speaking God. And as we look at this little story now in your word, we pray that you'd open your word up to us and open us up to your word, that we might know you better and love you more. Amen. Well, for those who are visiting today, and it's a good number of you, you're joining us midway through a series in Luke's gospel called Encounters with Christ. And it comes with that strap line that you can see it there on the screen. When people meet Jesus, when they meet the real Jesus of the Bible, they are changed by Jesus. And of course, that wasn't restricted to that little slice of history 2,000 years ago when Jesus walked in this world. As we've heard already this morning from Kieran's testimony very clearly, God is still at work in people's hearts and lives today. When people meet Jesus, their view of life, their view of God, and their view of eternity will never be the same again. Well, in last week's encounter, which comes just before this one, in Luke chapter 5, Jesus made it clear that mankind's greatest need, indeed the greatest need in the world today, is the forgiveness of sin. That's why Jesus left heaven. It's why he walked in this world. It's why he went to the cross in order to bring forgiveness of sin. But I think that we left last week maybe with a question hanging in the air. If Jesus came to bring forgiveness, then who is that forgiveness for? Who is it that will benefit from what Jesus came to do? And the answer to that question is found in our next encounter, which is before us this morning, when a guy called Levi meets Jesus. And I've got four short headings for us this morning, all beginning with the letter C, which will hopefully help us understand what is going on in this morning's encounter. Firstly, we have the call to follow Jesus. Have a look down verse 27. After this, i.e. after Jesus healed the paralyzed man and forgave his sin, that's what we looked at last week, after this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. Follow me, Jesus said to him. And Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Now, I think it's fair to say that Levi probably wasn't the most popular man in town. As we learn in verse 27, he was a tax collector, and therefore a traitor, a deserter in the eyes of the Jewish people. You see, tax collectors worked for, they were employed by the Romans. Their job was to gather in taxes from the Jewish people, and they weren't always too honest in the process. Basically, they chose the fast track to wealth at the expense of their own people, and for that reason, they were despised by the Jews. Most people could be pretty sure would have told Levi where to go, but now Jesus stands before him and tells him to come. Follow me, Jesus said to him. And Levi's response, verse 28, he got up, left everything, and followed Jesus. It's the same response for those who are with us that we saw at the beginning of Luke chapter 5, when Jesus calls the fishermen Simon Peter and James and John, and they leave it all behind, their boats, their nets, the greatest catch in history, and they leave it all there on the shores of the Sea of Galilee in order to follow Jesus. And we see the same thing here in verse 28. Levi gets up. He gets up from the tax collector's booth and he leaves it all behind. His money, his job, his security. He leaves it all behind in order to follow Jesus. What we have before us is a clear departure from his old way of life. You see, being a disciple of Jesus isn't just something that you drift into. It doesn't just happen. It requires an active decision. Levi got up. He got up. And he turned his back on his old way of life in order to pursue a new life that is centered on Jesus Christ. And so it is for Kieran. It's what we've seen this morning, isn't it? Baptism is a clear marker that Kieran, in that sense, has got up. He's turned his back on his old way of life, those broken passions and desires and loves and lusts, and he says no to those. in order to pursue a new life that is centered on Jesus Christ. To paraphrase verse 28, Kieran got up, left everything, and followed him. And as you can see, the decision to follow Jesus is a cause for great celebration. And that brings us to our second heading in verse 29, the celebration that follows. Have a look at the verses on the screen. Then, Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. You see, throughout the Bible, a feast, a banquet is almost always a symbol of celebration. We see the same thing later on in Luke chapter 15, when the prodigal son, the lost boy, comes home. The feast is laid out before him and the banquet begins. Because when lost people come home to God, when lost people who are living in the dark without a Savior turn to Jesus and hear that call to follow him, the most natural thing to do is celebrate, isn't it? Well, it comes out of the water, hey, I was clapping. Because there's something bursting in your heart when you see the gospel visualized before your face. He left everything. And Jesus has done a wonderful work in Kieran's heart. And now he's pursuing Jesus Christ. Salvation leads to celebration. And so it was for Levi. He's rejoicing, right? He's following Jesus. He's rejoicing in his heart. And like nothing else, he wants others to rejoice with him. That is why he throws a party for his pals in verse 29. But you do wonder, don't you, what they made of it all? All his former colleagues from down head office, the tax department maybe in Jerusalem, all those people that had lived along Levi in his former life, his corruptness, his greed, they saw it all. What would they now make when they see this change in Levi's life? Well, picture this scene if you would. Midway through this banquet, the main course comes to an end. The quiche is finished. Pizza slices are all gone. The crisp bowls are now empty. And just before Levi peels the cling film off the cakes and gives the classic shout out for pudding, he gathers his friends around him, all those that are at the party at his house, and he's got Jesus stood beside him. And he tells the gathered crowd all that the Lord Jesus has done for him and what it means now to follow him as Lord and Savior. Now, of course, that's all conjecture in many ways. We don't know what happened at the party. The Bible doesn't tell us, but this we do know. Levi did not respond to the call to follow Jesus quietly. He didn't just sneak away and start a new life somewhere on the other side of the Sea of Galilee. No, he wanted to celebrate publicly his encounter with Jesus Christ. He was desperate to introduce his friends and his family to his Savior. And it's no different this morning for Kieran. Because just like Levi, Kieran has responded to the call of Christ, and the most natural thing to do is to want to celebrate that new life with others. Firstly, we have the call to follow Jesus. Secondly, we have the celebration that ensues. And thirdly, a bit of a sad note in this story, we have the complaint in verse 30. You see, amongst all those celebrations, there are a few party poopers in the crowd. There's folk there who are far from rejoicing. In fact, they're grumbling at what they see happening. And after what we saw last week, it shouldn't surprise us who it is. Have a look down at verse 30. We saw the same thing last week. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law complained to his disciples, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Or as it says in the Message translation, "What is he doing?" Imagine him pointing at Jesus. What is he doing eating and drinking with misfits and sinners? No doubt it's the same crowd who showed up to witness the healing of the paralyzed man, and they've tagged along with Jesus to see what happens next. Last week, if you remember, they were grumbling in their head and their hearts. This week, they're grumbling out loud. And the main issue they have with Jesus is that he's eating and drinking with people like Levi. You see, in those days, eating and drinking together was a sign of close fellowship. And this is what the Pharisees thought respectable rabbis and respectable teachers should only associate with respectable people. Yet here's Jesus, and he's hanging out with the misfits in society, the deserters, those that have turned their back on the Jewish faith, and he's eating and drinking with them. In our context today, this is not an ideal analogy, but it's something like it. You would not find Jesus, I don't think, on a Tuesday evening rearranging flowers at church ready for the Sunday. Find him down the pub. You find him at the rugby club. You find him at the park. You'd find him in the streets sharing life and gospel with those who need a savior. It's what Jesus came to do, and the Pharisees had totally misunderstood the mission of Jesus. He came in order to seek and to save lost people. He came for those exactly like Levi and his friends who are at the party. And thankfully, in our last point, Jesus makes that absolutely crystal clear for us. Firstly, we have the call. Secondly, we have the celebration. Thirdly, we have the complaints. And then lastly, we have clarity. Clarity on who Jesus came to call. Verse 31 and 32. Jesus answered them. He's answering the complaints. He answered them, "Is not the healthy who need a doctor, but those who are ill. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Powerful picture, isn't it? If you were to wander off after this service and head over to A&E at Trelisk, Carol was there, I think, on late Wednesday night, Thursday morning, but if you were to do that this afternoon, you'd find the same sort of people there, wouldn't you? Who would you find in the waiting room at A&E on a Sunday afternoon? Sick people, ill people, injured people, people who know they need help, people who need a doctor. It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. And we all understand that physically, right? We all get that. Well, it's exactly the same spiritually. Jesus is the great doctor of our soul. He came into this world for spiritually sick, sin-sick people who know that they need help. You see, the first step to following Jesus is to know that you need Jesus. If you fail to accept that you're a sinner, then you'll never turn to Jesus as your Savior. As Spurgeon once said, you are a great sinner. But here's the joyful news. He is a greater Savior. Don't know whether you've heard these lyrics before, speaking of the Lord Jesus. He did not come to judge the world. He did not come to blame. He did not only come to seek, it was to save he came. And when we call him Savior, we call him by his name. Jesus came to save. It's what his name means, one who saves. Remember the Christmas story? Shepherds looking after their flocks by night, and an angel of the Lord came down, and the glory of the Lord shone around. The shepherds were terrified, weren't they? Do you remember what the angel said? Do not be afraid. Don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. And what is the content of that joy today? In the town of David, a Savior has been born. A Savior has come into this world, and he is Christ the Lord. He came to this world to take away our sin and carry it to the cross and to die with it in our place in order that we might be forgiven. What a great Savior Jesus is. Or as he puts it in verse 32, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Jesus didn't come for those who are righteous in their own eyes, for those who think they're good enough. Anything but. He came for sinners. He came for those who know they need help. He came for people like Levi. He came for people like Kieran. He came for people like me. And he came for people like you. And he came to call us to repentance, to make a decisive break with the old way of life, to get up like Levi, to get up and to leave it all behind and to pursue a new life centered on Jesus Christ that will climax in the most glorious eternity. It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. You see, I think there's two groups of people in this world who both distance themselves from Jesus. I think they were probably there at Levi's house at the party, and they may be even here this morning. Firstly, there are those who think they're too bad for Jesus. Maybe like some of Levi's mates, I've gone too far down that road, too deep into desertion. There's no way Jesus would love me. Well, there is. And he does. And the cross proves it. And then secondly, there are those who maybe think they're too good. Like the Pharisees, who think they're good enough already. No need for Jesus. Life's fine. It's okay without him. Thank you very much. If that is you this morning, could I please gently point out to you that it's not okay. It's not okay without Jesus Christ. The Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And the good doctor of our souls gives us that diagnosis, as painful as it might be, as much as you don't want me to say it this morning, the good doctor gives us that diagnosis in order that we might turn to him for help and for healing and forgiveness from the only one who can give that to us. Let me finish this morning with just two words that you see there in verse 27. Follow me. Jesus said, follow me. It's not a question, is it? Didn't say, will you follow me? There's no question mark there. It's a command. And it's a command from the loving creator of this world to follow him through death to life and the greatest celebration imaginable. I'm going to pray. Give the band time to get back up. They can join me at the front as I pray. And then we're going to stand to sing our closing hymn together. Let me pray before we do that. Father in heaven, thank you for the new life that is in Jesus. Thank you for the example we have before us in your word of Levi, who trusted Jesus, followed Jesus, and left it all behind in order to pursue a life that is far superior, far more fulfilling, and full of eternal assurance. Thank you as well that we've had a visible testimony this morning in front of our very eyes of Kieran's life. Thank you for the story that he has shared of all that you've done in his heart. And we do pray for him now, Lord, that he would walk faithfully with you all his days, all those challenges as he works through what it looks like to leave things behind and to put Jesus first. Please walk closely with him in this new life, and may others around him also come to taste and see that the Lord is good. And we ask all these things for Jesus' sake. Amen.